Them there woods just ain't right, is what my grandparents used to tell me back on the farm growing up. I don't know if it's just where I'm from, but I feel like almost everywhere has a rumor about some scary woods. A patch of woods that you should just avoid. These subscribers sent in their allegedly true and downright creepy experiences out in the woods that'll freak you out tonight. If you have a story that you would like to share, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you can, be sure to hit that like button and subscribe if you're new. Sit back, relax, and enjoy these creepy and allegedly true deep woods horror stories. I am a 15-year-old girl, and this happened about a year and a half ago in the middle of September, at around 5:30. It was almost dark out. I was maybe 13 or 14 at the time. Everyone knows me as a tomboy and a very curious person. I and my friend Matthew were bored one night, because all the neighborhood kids could not play outside with us. We both were told not to go into the woods at the back of our neighborhood. Note: there is a fence you must crawl under, because there's barbed wire. So, us being bored and alone, went into the woods to discover new things. There were some weird things in that forest, such as an old desk, a mattress, and an abandoned semi-trailer. Despite what we found, we kept going. The entire time I felt the feeling of being watched, but shook it off as me fearing getting caught in the woods. After about 10 minutes of walking, we came across a trail going up to a clearing. Another note: if you turned around on top of the trail, you could see an old shack that someone lived in. All of a sudden, walking back down, we heard what I'm pretty sure was a laugh. This laugh was like a clown laugh, and extremely high-pitched. Matthew started saying, "Come on, let's get up the trail." I knew this was a bad idea, because that clearing at the top was a dead end. I then, trying to stay calm and keep a calm voice, said, "Oh, that was my Halloween app telling me it was about to be Halloween." This seemingly worked, and I walked as fast as I could to the bottom of the trail, as did Matthew. As soon as we got to the bottom, I yelled, "Run!" We sprinted, and I could hear some sticks breaking behind us. I didn't look back, though. Quite frankly, I refused to. We climbed under the barbed wire fence. I cut my leg in the process of doing so, but I kept on running. We got to his house and both fell in his front yard, looking at each other. As soon as I caught my breath, I ran home. I never really told my parents about this, but about a month later I told a girl in my neighborhood what happened, and she looked pale. She told me, "My friend and I went in those woods, and a guy at the shack was pointing a gun at us." I don't know what happened that day, and I don't want to know what could have happened, but I'm grateful that we made it out alive. English is not my native language, so I am sorry if I make some mistakes in the grammar. Just to be straightforward, I'm from Costa Rica, and these stories are from my mother-in-law. I don't have any of my own stories yet, and hope that it stays like that. For a little backstory, when my mother-in-law was a child, all the kids used to play together in parks or nearby forest, and then returning to their home at night. It was simple times. Do you believe in dwarves? Because I do. Ever since I was a little kid, my mother always warned me about this tiny creature that stole a child from their mother. When you are a child, you just think of this as a tale to scare you and to not wander out alone. But they really exist. My mother-in-law told me about when she was a child, around the age of 7 or 8, that she used to play with other kids in her neighborhood. One in specific used to wander alone all the time. We'll call him R. One of the other kids told him that if he was not careful, he might be caught by the dwarves. He did not listen, and one day, when all of them were returning from the normal day of play, they immediately noticed that one of them was missing, and it was R. They tried to search for him, but they had no luck. They had to find R's parents, and of course they were scolded for leaving him alone. It was 2 weeks past, and there was still no clue where R went. The elder people said it was the dwarves, and I believe it was. And if it was, there was no hope of ever seeing him again. But mysteriously, R was found alive, a little slimmer with scratches all over his body. Of course, everybody thought that he was just wandering in the woods and got lost. But the weird thing is he said nothing about what happened. The scratches were tiny like a kitten's, but they were very strange. When my mother-in-law asked him what happened, R just would say tiny people.
My name is Jacob. I use my real name for everything, and I have no need to hide my identity, as this story is something that I really hope reaches other people who may have been caught up in the same situation, maybe even at the same location. Now, let's get on with it. There is a lake in Northern California called Letts Lake. The family and I have vacationed there many times, and have experienced no real anomalies. However, there was one time that stood out to me. After watching some creepypasta and missing 411 videos, I came upon a dark realization that I had almost become one of the missing. This is rough for me to think about, because I love my family very dearly, and just turning up dead after going for a short walk around a half-mile lake is not the way I want to go. The walk starts out about 30 feet from the shore, with a thin walking path. It goes in about a half-mile radius around the lake. The little bits of side paths to go visit ruins of old USFS stuff, like an abandoned truck and some hiking gear and whatnot. Continuing past the path, you cross a little creek, and then if you turn left from the creek, you will see another tiny campground that the creek splits at. Continuing further, you get to a fishing spot to the right of you. Following the path further, you reach a little small dam or culvert thing that leads down further into the river basin, about a mile and a half. This creek is what feeds that lake. Now, all of this factual evidence about walking around a lake gets kind of boring, I'm sure. Now, there is one last little trek left to go. Continuing to follow the path after the dam and culvert leads you past a manzanita grove, where you can see turtles in the water and geese flapping about. Here's where things got weird for me. This lake takes about 15 minutes to get around on average, depending on if you're stopping to explore the campgrounds or admire the view of the campground from the other side of the lake. Which I will note, is in clear view no matter where you are in the lake. You can always see other people walking along the trail. Approaching the fishing dock that is on the lake, I decide I was going to take a little detour and walk into the forest just a little bit. Now, this should have taken maybe 15 minutes for this little detour, because I followed it in the general direction of the trail, but parallel. I had my phone on me and was losing track of time, but honestly, there's no way I could have lost this much time. My phone had died the minute I started my detour, so I was flying blind. I'd finished my, what I like to call, 15-minute detour, only to come back to the entire campground that was about to call search and rescue because they hadn't seen me in about an hour and a half. Overreactions, I thought. To me, I was gone a max of 30 minutes. I just could not wrap my head around where all my time had gone. During my detour, it was like I was in a trance, just walking, and then bam, yelling from all over. But my name. To close this out, if you are at Lake Letts, please avoid leaving the trail. You may not get out. If we go back at some point, I will, hopefully, send you an update. I was 9 years old and I used to live on my family's farmhouse. We had no Wi-Fi, of course. No smartphones, and I lived in a very rural area. so I killed my boredom by exploring the nearby landscape. I remember there was a forest awfully close, and I decided to go there one sweltering hot summer day. The trees had great cover from the summer heat, but I would later find out it was also providing cover for something much more sinister than I could ever imagine. There was an old tale of a legend of sorts. It went something like this. There was once a tribe isolated from the rest of civilization and shrouded in mystery. The tribe had gone through some of the worst winters and famine ever recorded and was forced to feed on their brothers and sisters. But one by one they turned into a horrifying, warped and twisted creature called the Wendigo. It fed on humans and was a vicious hunter. After 3 decades of suffering, the Wendigos were put down by a powerful shaman and the remains were buried with the ones they had slain. Then another 7 decades of peace was upon the tribesmen and the terrific tales of the creatures died out, taking with it the legacy and honor of the brave men of the tribe who fought to succeed and end the reign of terror. The elders of the tribe, however, held the tradition of teaching kids to suppress their cannibalistic thoughts as the generations went on. Then one night a horrible killing had occurred. A son had killed and eaten his father, as his father forbade that he would get married to a girl. Fueled by the rage within, he slaughtered and devoured his family. As dawn broke, he sat and watched in horror as his hand became warped and twisted, growing sharp claws, his skin darkening in color, and he himself had become the feared creature, the Wendigo. The legend stated that the entire tribe was killed while trying to put the Wendigo down. So here I was, picking wild berries and having nothing to fear walking along the beautiful wilderness. I found a nice spot at a forest clearing and sat down. Soon enough, I was fast asleep, and when I had awoken, it was dark. Figuring I had to get back since there were wolves around, I started walking back down the path. I saw some shadows bristling by, and I shrugged it off as a deer or a moose, as these parts of the woods were notorious for having a lot of wild animals. I was walking along, still not really bothered, but as one of the shadows went by rather closely, shivers ran through my spine. I had realized the shadow was not of an animal, but that of a large man. This had disturbed me so much that I started running and screaming. I looked over my shoulder to see if anything was behind me, and I saw the figure, but he or it was moving faster, far faster than any human being could. Due to me not being able to see in front of me, I tripped and fell. The last thing I remember before waking up was distorted versions of my mother's voice, but I knew deep down it wasn't her. I wanted to believe it was him coming to save me, but I knew it wasn't that. I woke up in my parents' house. They had told me they went out looking for me since it was dark and found me passed out on the ground. I told them about my encounter, and that's when I first heard the legend from my father. Now I am 35 years old. I have a well-paying job, a house in the suburbs, and a beautiful wife and 2 children. I would have never rethought about these events if it was not for the multiple dead children reports from my hometown. I knew it was the Wendigo. I kissed my family goodbye, grabbed my gun, and got ready to finish what I started. To finish what that thing has done. To finish the reign of terror. If anybody has any advice on what I could do to potentially end this Wendigo, I would love to know. This happened to me about 3 months ago. I like to go on walks through the woods at night because it helps me calm down, and I have bad anxiety. It was sometime around 1:30 a.m. when I decided to go on a walk because I was bored out of my mind. I got up and put on some jogging attire, and was on my way. Probably about 5 minutes into my walk, I thought I heard some people talking, so I started to slow down and listen a bit closer. I was almost certain I heard multiple different voices, and decided to walk into the surrounding trees, so I kept myself hidden and out of sight. I slowly snuck up on them without anybody noticing. From what I could see, there were 5 people sitting around in a circle, wearing ski masks. It startled me at first, because this was the first time I had ever seen other people in these woods at night. They were reciting some sort of verse or something. I could not really tell if I'm being honest. I was crouched down by a tree, and I moved my foot a bit to get into a more comfortable position. I accidentally stepped on a branch making a loud noise, and like a deer, all five people snapped their heads in my direction. But I don't think they actually saw me, because after looking for what I would guess was about 10 seconds or so, they all looked away. After looking at them for a minute, I got up and quietly ran away, as fast as I could. After looking at them for a few minutes, I got up quickly but quietly and started to walk back toward my house. That is when I heard someone shout, "Get him!" I think that was the fastest I have ever run in my life. I was running like a bat out of hell, and when I got out of the woods into my house, I turned back to look at the woods and just barely I could see five outlines of the people marching back into the woods. This happened a while ago, about 3 years ago to be exact. I was on a camping trip with my great aunt, let's call her Ava, and many other family members. We would have family cookouts at the family camp every summer, and they always brought me the best of memories. That summer was difficult for many reasons, so that trip to camp was exactly what I needed. We had burgers, hot dogs, and watermelon, the ingredients for a perfect cookout. That day was wonderful for me, but the night was when I realized that the cold, old tales my great-grandmother told me were true. When the night came, we had many choices of where to sleep, either one of the two campers, Ava's car, or the camp house. I chose one of the campers that night. Most of my family chose the camp house, and a couple of my cousins chose the camper behind the one I was sleeping in. I think I slept for at least an hour before I heard scratching at the camper. At first, I thought it was one of my cousins trying to get in, so I yelled for them to stop and that I was trying to sleep. It didn't stop though, and I started getting incredibly angry. So, like the stupid teen I was, I stormed out the door and opened it. All I saw was a blur of brown fur run into the woods near the camper I was in. I screamed and fell back, hitting my head in the process. I got up and slammed the door closed, and I heard my two cousins, we will call them John and Carl, yell, "Bear!" Even though I saw the creature, it had a tail. It looked like a wolf tail, in the face of a cat. I remembered a tale my grandmother used to tell me. It was a tale about an alchemist who created a homunculus to take revenge on a town who tried to kill her for praying to gods the town called Fake. The creature in the story was a combination of a brown bear, a coyote, and a mountain lion. After recalling this, I was even more afraid. I have this weird feeling in my gut that these two creatures are one and the same, but sadly, my family did not believe me, and they were certain it was a bear. If you all believe me, please let me know. There is something in those woods, and I do not think it's very friendly. I moved from Idaho to Alaska about 2 months ago, and I have already experienced something I never thought I would ever experience. After taking a week to recover from a 5-day trek across Canada on the Alaska Highway, I had decided I was going to get out to explore the wilderness of my new home state and try to catch a glimpse of the wildlife, such as a moose or a bear. The house I am renting is on the outskirts of the nearest town, so I basically live right in the middle of the forest and have access to miles and miles of dense woods. I still do not know exactly what I had been thinking when I decided to go out into the woods without anything but my phone, which at the time did not get great service in Alaska, and some earbuds. I began my running at a medium pace into the woods, hopping over bushes and branches while jamming out to some shaky graves. I had probably gone through about 5 songs when my shoelace got hooked on a fallen tree and I was thrown to the ground face first. I immediately got back up, swore out of irritation, and began to put my earbuds back in when I realized I had no idea where I was. At some point, I had lost my sense of direction and had only but a faint idea as to which direction I'd even come from. I started to run the way I thought I had come from when I began to panic and second-guess myself, when I realized I should not have come out into my backyard ages ago. I did not want to panic, because I knew that would just make everything worse if I did, and I started to try to pinpoint the right location that I was in. Of course, I eventually realized that I was hopelessly and utterly lost without the slightest indication of which way would bring me to some sort of civilization. After a few brief moments of cursing and groaning, I decided to follow my gut and go the direction in which I thought would possibly lead me home. I started running at a full speed, hoping to break the tree line in a matter of minutes, when something on the ground caught my eye. It was a backpack. I stopped instantly and looked around for a person or a campsite, but there was nothing I could see from the spot I was at, which was situated at the bottom of a small hill. The bag looked as if it had been abandoned for a few days at the very least, but was slightly damp from the rain earlier that morning. I kneeled and picked up the bag, resting it against my knees. It had a heavy weight to it, so I knew that there was something inside. Looking back now, I remember the dark feeling I had gotten in my chest right before I unzipped the main part of the backpack. Inside, there were bags of what I immediately knew was an assortment of illegal drugs, and items used to administer them. I quickly stood up and took a step back. I had such a powerful feeling of dread that I felt like I was in imminent danger. I just wanted to get out of there and find my way home, so I started to run up again to the top of the hill. I was hit with a wave of excitement when I saw a house at the bottom that was buried in the trees. I had begun to make a start for it when something in my head told me to stop. The thought entered my mind that what I had just discovered was awfully close to this house. I wanted so badly to be out of the woods and to find some form of civilization, but something told me this was not safe. I ran away from the house along the tree line, hoping that I would possibly stumble upon another house. After about 10 to 15 minutes, I stumbled into a neighborhood of sorts and asked a man working in his yard for directions. He was kind enough to drive me home and assure me everybody gets lost in Alaska at some point. As soon as I got home, I showered and chugged some water and then immediately called the police to report what I had seen. However, since I had no idea where I was, I could not tell them where to find the drugs or where the house was, so my report was essentially useless. I just would have felt very guilty if I had not at least said something. I have driven all over the area down different roads trying to find the house, but I never have. It is probably for the best, though, because I do not want to get caught up in something I should not be in. I am glad I had listened to my gut and kept running from that house, because people in possession of such many illegal drugs can definitely be extremely dangerous. I know this story might not be the scariest thing you've ever shared, but thank you for sharing it if you do. This is a story my mom used to tell me when I was growing up. This happened to my great-grandfather. They lived where I also grew up in southern West Virginia, but this happened in the late 1800s. The road my grandpa lived on did not have a paved road back then. It was just a horse path next to a creek about 4 feet wide, maybe, up a dense forested hollow. Then, there was probably 2 to 3 miles in between houses, and he lived almost at the main end of the road. Sometimes, my great-grandpa would not get off work till after dark. This meant he would have to ride his horse up the hollow in pitch darkness, save an oil lantern he had because the area did not have electricity in the Sierra. He always told my mom that he hated those nights, even as a grown man, because that place always felt very weird during the day, and so much worse at night. He used to tell her about halfway up the road between the longest gap of houses, which was about a 3-mile stretch, is where he felt the most uneasy every time he passed through there, day or night. But he said at night, it was just awful. That it felt like something was always watching him. And the hair on the back of his neck would stand up, and his horse would get uneasy as well and be hard to control. So every time he would reach this stretch in the road, he would get his horse to run until he was at the next house. Well, one night, he had to do a lot more work than usual, so he didn't reach that part of the road until about midnight. He said he didn't have his oil lantern that night because he didn't think he would be at work that late, so it was pitch dark. He could see a little, though, because his eyes were adjusted to the darkness, so he could still tell where he was going. When he approached that stretch of road that was always very eerie, he said the air seemed to be much heavier this night, and his horse seemed a lot more spooked. He said he did not want to make the horse run without his lantern, because he could not see well enough to know where he was going. He just said he was very alert and looking around and listening to everything he could. He said, this is when it dawned on him. He heard nothing but the sound of his horse hooves, hitting the padded down dirt on the road. He said it was always quieter in this area than the rest of the road, but never quite silent. He was a hunter and knew a lot about the woods. He knew that silence often means there is a dominant predator in the area. Knowing this, he said he was about to just run the rest of the way, because he felt so much dread that he said his hands were shuddering on the horse's reins. Right before he was about to get his horse to book it, he said his horse started freaking out, and he had a struggle not to fall off. She just took off without him having to kick her. As they were running, suddenly, his horse's hindquarters went way down, and she struggled to stand up and keep running. He said it was like something insanely heavy jumped on the back of his horse, just behind him, and was weighing the horse down to the point to where she couldn't even run. He looked back behind him and saw nothing, but the horse still continued to struggle running. Finally, he said when they were about 200 feet from the house around the bend in the road, that his horse suddenly came back up like normal and ran like hell, as if whatever was weighing it down jumped off. He looked around frantically to see if he could see anything running away, and still could see nothing. He did mention the scent of sulfur, though. Like someone lit a bunch of matches, is how he described it. He got home and said his horse seemed okay looking over it, but he said he noticed the next day, when daylight broke, that the back of his saddle was blackened, like it had been burned. After that night, if he had to stay late at work, he would go to his brother's house and stay. He said he would never go up that path again after dark. He said it just felt like there was an unholy feeling, and he felt like it was the devil himself. I believe my great-grandpa's story, because he was deeply religious, and he would not make up stuff like this. Even on his deathbed, he would not even miss church. My mom also told me he kept the saddle, and she seen it with the burnt mark. When she was a little girl, she used to ask questions about it all the time. He passed, of course, before I was born. I wish I could have met him and heard him tell the story himself. I have wanted to go there and look around just to see if I can get any eerie feelings myself, but it's all grown up and over now, and it's really hard to get to that spot. Maybe one day, I'll have another story for myself. When I was 7 years old, my parents moved from the inner city neighborhood where I was born to a 30-acre farm in rural West Virginia. Besides my parents and I, there was my brother who was 10 years older than me, and my sister with her baby. We also brought a pair of pit bull puppies who were about 4 months old. They will be important later. We moved into the farm in early April. I jumped out of the car and started running around, but my mom grabbed me by the arm and started pointing at things. "Don't go near the creek. Don't go past the barn," my mom said, and pointed there and told me not to go past them. She really reiterated it. That did not bother me all that much because it was still more room than I had ever had before. But what she said the next day took me by surprise. "Also, starting tonight, you'll be in the house by dusk, in bed by dark." I started to protest, but she stopped me. "There's animals in these hills that can hurt or even kill you if you even just give it a chance. Besides, after dark, we need to listen for something or someone messing with our livestock." I nodded and my mom went back to helping carry stuff in. Nothing happened of note until August of that year, though. It was about 1 a.m. when I was awakened by the sound of chickens clucking and screeching in their pens. My brother jumped out of bed and grabbed his rifle. I followed him as he ran out the front door, where my dad was standing with a shotgun. Then, I heard our pit bull snarling and biting at something. I think it was a black bear, is what people told me, as I later found out. It took off through the bottom land, being chased by our dogs. My dad and brother fired their guns in the air, screaming, "Get on, get going!" After that, nothing really happened for about 3 months. It was October and my parents were talking about canning the vegetables and fruit they harvested. I was in school until mid-afternoon. I played until dusk and started to go inside when I noticed that there were no sounds coming from the woods or the barn. I shrugged it off and went inside. Later that night, I was awoken again by the chickens screeching. I jumped up to see if my brother heard them, but his bed was empty. I opened the door and saw my dad and brother sitting on kitchen chairs facing the front door with their guns in their laps. My mom and sister were sitting on the couch trying to keep the baby quiet. I was confused. Why didn't they just shoot at the bear like before? Then I noticed that I did not hear our dogs. I listened closely and heard them whining under the front porch. I was about to ask what was going on when one of our dogs yelped and started biting at whatever had it. Then it was silent. The other dog yelped and it too went silent. I saw my dad shoot my mom a worried look. I was too afraid to move. Then I heard something step on our front porch. My dad and brother stood up and pointed their guns at the door. I listened as whatever it was walked across the porch and started circling our house. It went around the house over and over. I could not take it anymore, so I jumped into my bed and covered my head. I must have finally fell back asleep because I woke up with the sun in my eyes. I got up and found my mom and sister throwing everything we owned into boxes and bags. I looked outside in the yard and saw blood, guts, and feathers everywhere, and everything else you could imagine across the porch around the house. I started to ask my mom where Dad was. She yelled to pack my clothes and get ready to leave. I found out later that my dad and brother went to rent a U-Haul and to tell my uncles that the garden and everything else was up for grabs. We threw our stuff in the U-Haul and hit the road in an hour. I asked my mom what that thing was, and she just shook her head and cried. That was the first and only time I ever saw my mom scared to tears. We never went back to West Virginia any longer than a day trip. I don't know what lives in those woods, but I don't want to find out. This story happened in July. My husband and I decided to take our two kids camping one weekend, since we cannot do much else since the coronavirus. Plus, we love camping and have never taken them before. Our daughter is 2 and our son is 6. We went to our usual place where the campsites are about a half mile away from each other. Well, once it started to get dark, our kids started getting scared and wanted to leave, so we decided to take them to my dad's for the weekend and went back to the campsite. Sometime around midnight, we decided it was time to go to bed. We laid down and fell asleep rather quickly. Around an hour or two later, I woke up and I had to pee. I woke my husband up, and he got up and walked with me to the bathroom, which was about halfway between campsites. On our way back, we saw a light coming from our campsite, which kind of worried us, making us think our family was looking for us. So we walked quickly back toward the campsite. But right before we got out of the trees, my husband threw his arm around me to stop. I asked him, "What?" He said, "Shh." I stayed very quiet and looked back at the campsite and watched the light. And that is when I saw the glint of silver in their hand. A long knife. We ducked down and hid behind some trees in typical scary movie fashion. I think the guy heard us move, because he shined his light toward the woods. He started running towards the woods and we took off running in the opposite direction. We could hear him running behind us and we kept checking behind us, but the light was gone now. We eventually were able to circle the road and crept slowly back to my husband's SUV. We got back in and drove as fast as we could and called the police. They had us take them back to the campsite, and we waited in the car while they checked the campsite and the surrounding area. Soon we saw more police cars pull up and the two original officers came up and asked us to walk the tent with them. We did, and what we saw was shocking. Our tent was slashed to pieces, and so was all of our stuff. The police ended up evacuating all the other campers and did a sweep of the entire area, but they never found anything except the flashlight that was along the way we ran. We follow up with the police every month, and there have been no updates. I will definitely resubmit my story if there are any updates to come soon. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button, and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, Whether it's an outdoors experience or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and want to bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you, you can download them pretty much anywhere you find podcasts. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, you name it, I'm there. The best part of it all is it's absolutely free. If you want to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I have face masks, shirts, hoodies, mugs, and pretty much everything else you could ever want. Thanks again, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. I'll see you soon with another creepy video.